Are you ready?
Yeah.
Are you with it?
Yeah.
Okay, let's go. You know what to do. The whole world's watching and counting on you. And all you people listening out there, everybody, everywhere.
Hang on, hang on, hang on!
Welcome to Checkered Past, a loving postmodern examination of the Go-Go Check branded comic magazines published by DC Comics between February 1966 and August 1967. I'm Dr. Bob, and each week I'll be your guide on this trippy tour through 535 mid-century masterpieces of graphic noveldom.
This week, Justice League of America number 50, cover date December 1966, cover price 12 cents, cover artists Mike Sikowski and Murphy Anderson, edited by Julius Schwartz, featuring The Lord of Time Attacks the 20th Century, written by Gardner Fox, art by Mike Sikowski and Sid Green. Are you ready? Are you with it? Then away we go, go! Sergeant Eddie Brent, a Green Beret war hero, turns criminal when he becomes the hypnotized pawn of the Lord of Time. Prevented from operating his own weapons by the Justice League, he has Brent do so in his stead in battles against Batman and Robin, and later, the other League members. His plan is to gain certain objects that will allow him to regain his ability to use his weapons himself. Confused? Don't worry, I'll be right back with Dr. Husband to explain everything.
What?
Good to see ye.
Oh.
I'm just greeting you in traditional Scottish greetings.
Oh, okay.
Because I've just been to Scotland, you know.
Yes, now you're fluent.
Yes.
In Scottish.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
Let's see, what are some
Guardy
other,
Lou!
Like, whits for ye'll no go past ye.
Oh. What are you? I never heard any of those things.
Hey, didn't fash yourself.
What? Shut up! I don't know what you're saying.
Lang may your lum reek.
Lang may your lum reek?
Yeah.
Lang may your lum reek. Lum reek.
Hi.
Hi.
How you been?
Amazing.
Yeah.
Thank you. Yes. Now, having just returned from our vacation.
To?
Abroad.
Yeah.
To Scotland.
Oh, you were in Scotland as well?
Oh, yes, yes.
Oh, I wasn't aware.
Yes.
How did you like it?
Oh, my God, I loved it.
Yeah?
I loved it. How did you like it?
Same. 10 out of 10. No notes.
No, no notes. No notes. Fantastic, wasn't it?
Yes.
Yes. Gosh, we are so very, very fortunate. We want to talk about it?
Sure.
Well, where are we going to start?
Well, we started in Glasgow.
We flew into Glasgow.
That was the only rainy day, completely rainy day we had.
Okay, yes.
We had little spits of rain here and there, but...
Yeah, for the rest of the time. But we rained on us that one full day in Glasgow.
Yes.
Yes. Best Indian meal of our lives.
The very best Indian food. Of course, tikka masala was invented in Glasgow.
Yes, of course we didn't have it.
No, I didn't. But
yeah.
If I'd have known, I might have. But I had a better chicken thing that was
Love Glasgow.
Better.
Loved Glasgow.
And of
Beautiful
course,
murals.
We had lunch with my pen friend of 30 plus years,
yes.
Moira.
Yes, that was exciting to see her.
Yes.
Yes, and the sights.
What there. Else? Yes, we saw. Where were we? That one place, and there was just a lad in the middle of the woods by the river playing bagpipes.
Yeah, one of the parks around there, yes.
Just not even with a money cup out.
No, he's just woods. Practicing, just playing in the woods. Yeah.
And then we went to Oban, seafood capital of Scotland.
Absolutely beautiful, beautiful. And we saw that, not the Colosseum, the tower at the top. It's built to look like the Colosseum.
Someone's folly, but it's, yes, it's made to look like the Colosseum in Rome.
Yes. And we always went on a seal watching.
Seal watching excursion out in the ocean.
Yes.
Where next? Isle of Skye.
We saw
11 out of 10.
Glencoe,
yes.
Glencoe. And then, we went up a mountain, didn't we?
We climbed the Old Man of Store.
Old Man of Store, yes.
Not all the way. We didn't go all the way, but three quarters.
We took this beautiful, beautiful, quiet mountain. Cable car.
Oh, cable car up to Mount Nevis. Yeah. Nevis?
And then we encountered we did the northern loop of Spey around the
Skye. Island.
Spey?
You said Spey.
Oh my goodness, let me take some time to think about this for a second. The northern loop of Skye.
On the recommendation of our waitress, Sam.
And
at the Saucy Maiden.
Saucy Mary's. Yes. So anyway, there's a part of that drive that has been described as Tolkien-esque.
Yes, you know,
and
that's accurate.
Exactly what it was like. We saw Highland heifers and newly born lambs, and it was just the views. If anybody's not been to Scotland before, but if you've been out west to Montana, imagine the most beautiful, beautiful vistas you can see in Montana, and then just add a bunch more green to it. Because that's what it was like in Scotland. And then the ocean.
Yes.
But it was just as wild and beautiful as that. After that, we went to Grattan-on-Spey.
Perfect little town. If you haven't been, go now, because it's set up perfectly for tourists, but there are no tourists.
Yes, they don't know about it, I guess. I mean, it's because it's in between or close to major destinations.
Yeah.
So it's not a huge site to visit. Beautiful forests there, and a river, and you can go through woodland walks, which we did.
Yes.
It was just wonderful. What else? We met lots of great people. We finished up in
Edinburgh. If you're in Grattan-on-Spey, go to the Grant Arms Hotel and talk to the bartender, Gavin.
Yes.
He'll tell you all about every whiskey there is. He's got little flyers to pass out about it.
That he made.
Yes.
And he's brilliant. We did. We went to Edinburgh.
Yes.
Yes, and had a lovely dinner.
Yes.
Yeah.
With Martin Gray and his partner Stephen, who Martin's essentially a comic book royalty, as far as I'm concerned.
And they were delightful to spend time with.
Yes.
Oh gosh, and of course we saw castles and just wonderful museums. And lots of incredible food. Yes, I had haggis several times. And
it's
yes,
hard to avoid, isn't it? It's on every breakfast buffet.
Yes.
They put it in pasta dishes and nachos and everything.
And black pudding, which I was glad to see because I enjoy black pudding.
Everyone loves black pudding.
Yes. And gosh, what was your favorite part of the trip?
Either Isle of Skye or Grattan-on-Spey.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say the drive on the Isle of Skye.
I mean, I'm talking... But absent the meeting delightful people that we met.
Well, I mean, as far as like
just,
sort of...
you know, being in a place,
yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, the Isle of Skye.
Although Edinburgh is really fantastic.
Don't you
also
just love it? And we hardly got to spend any time in the new town, which would be in the early, is it 18th century that they started building the new town?
Yeah, ish.
Late
18th. 19th, maybe.
I think it's early.
Georgian era. When is that?
I don't know.
I don't either. I guess I need to study
although
history.
It's funny because I got lots of history buzzing around in my head because I did read as much as I possibly could while I was there on history. But we spent most of our time in Edinburgh in the Old Town. And of course, it's built on an extinct volcano. And it is just streets upon streets upon streets. And it's like an M.C. Escher-esque kind of navigation and full of history and wonderful, wonderful, what they call closes, which we called alleys. We would call them alleys.
Yes.
Just delightful to see how they've built it up over the history. And because it was walled in Edinburgh, just to protect them from the English, they just built up and it was extraordinary just to see, you know, in Edinburgh, you're either going up or you're going down.
Right.
That's about it, you know? So it was, I loved it. I would go back in a heartbeat.
Same, girl,
yes,
same.
Yeah.
Only one disappointment.
What?
When we went to Loch Gelly.
To trace
your ancestral roots.
Yes.
His great grandfather was born in Loch Gelly.
Yes.
And he had the address where he was born, and we went. And the building no longer exists.
Now, my family was very poor. Yes. And so, like, my great-great-grandfather was a coal miner. My great-grandfather is the one I was trying I had, like, his birthplace, his address. I knew when he was born. I knew where he was married. And so I looked that up. And, of course, we could see the lot where the house should
yes.
be. But the remaining houses were quite, from that period, probably were not in the best of shape. But there was a newer, if you will, newer, probably post-World War II, I think post-World War II or around that time, development of houses around there. So I'm assuming that they
knocked it down. Well, the gentleman across the street who had a funny-looking finger, I don't know if you noticed.
No, I didn't.
He had like a little stub finger.
Okay.
He said that address had been a bus station at one time, so.
Oh, yeah. So it had gone through, you know, multiple. But of course, where my great-grandfather is from, Lochgelly, is a former mining town.
Yes.
And so all the mines have since shut down. And about the time that he would have been, that the mines would have shut down, he went to Wrexham, Wales.
Wrexham, what's that? There's a program about that.
Oh, so where he met my great-grandmother and married her in Wrexham. And then they went together from Wrexham to Nova Scotia, where my grandfather was born and my father and his siblings were born. And then, of course, I would be the first person in the United States. So
sure.
So our next destination, I don't know if our next destination, but we definitely are going to go to Wales. And then we've got to go to England as well. I haven't been to London. You've been to London many, many years ago,
just, right? Yes, but I was an idiot 17-year-old child. And guess what I did? Stayed in my hotel room and watched TV.
I can't imagine you doing that now.
I mean,
you do like TV, but I can't. You are very much the let's go and photograph and see and kind of person as soon as you hit the ground running. So,
but it was 1984. I probably had some good television, like French Saunders or The Young Ones or something.
I'm sure you're. And let's see. Oh, I drove on the other side of the road. I drove on the left-hand side of the road.
You were an excellent driver.
Which I was surprised to hear you say that, but I was a really good driver.
I was surprised to observe it, honestly.
Yes. Well, it takes a lot of concentration to drive on the other side of the road. And on those narrow roads, the roads are quite...
They're very tiny.
Yeah. And the cars are larger. They're becoming larger. That is unusual for them. In the kind of...
American sense of large cars. Yes.
So, we got back literally on Friday morning. Well, we arrived back in the States late Thursday night, but arrived home Friday morning just after midnight.
Yes.
Slept on Friday and relaxed yesterday, and then slept a lot last night as well. And I took a nap today as well. So, I've got the lawn all cut now.
Yes, thank you.
You're most welcome. And your sister was a delightful traveling companion.
Yes.
And I wish your other sister could have joined us, but she had a whirlwind trip of her own that she did with her friends to celebrate her 50th birthday. So I guess that's about all I can say, except that... And I'm grateful because of all the walking we did, I didn't gain a pound at all.
Oh, good for you.
Yes. Boy, we did enjoy a lot of whiskey.
Yes.
And
gin. And gin. I'm enjoying some gin now, served in a goblet in the Scottish manner.
I didn't know that Scotland was also known for its gins. And so,
you know, I didn't either, although,
didn't register.
I think I knew it, but forgot it. Until presented with the evidence.
Yes, and they do really have they have many varieties of Scottish whiskey.
Yes,
And I now understand a little bit more about what whiskey comes from what regions, and like that certain regions have certain types of whiskeys that they make. But then there's another region where all bets are off as to what the whiskey's going to taste like.
There are thousands of varieties of whiskey, Mrs. Bradshaw. I prefer Speyside whiskeys.
And then the gin is the same. You know, it's not all going to be like juniper forward gin. It's there could be floral gins and botanicals and
all. You put all kinds of crazy stuff in.
Yeah. So it was delightful. I am a little sad to be home.
Yes.
A little sad to be home. I mean, although it was fun seeing our babies, and our dog sitter was extraordinary.
Yes.
I mean, extraordinary.
He did the laundry.
Yeah.
He vacuumed.
He said, well, I've left the house just like you left it.
He left it a little better than we left it, I'm sure.
I don't know. really hard to clean the house before we left. But he did a fantastic job. And he sent us pictures and cared for our pets. And it was nice to go when you go into another country that you know that your pets are cared for so well. So I'm so delighted. I'm glad to be home I'm glad to be home, but I'm sad that the vacation's come to an end.
Well, we'll have another vacation soon.
Yes, yes.
Which we'll talk all about later.
Yes.
Speaking of later, the Lord of Time. I don't know why he looks like, how can we say this politically correct? A special needs person who has to wear a helmet all the time.
He does.
He looks really crazed on this cover.
Yeah.
The Lord of Time appeared in the very first Justice League adventure that I ever read in my whole life in the comic book form.
Okay.
And he was not quite this goofy looking.
He wasn't.
No. He had the same costume, but it's something about the way this helmet is drawn really disturbs me.
Yeah, it's
and also his giant teeth and eyeballs.
And they're really close together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And his nose is disproportionately large compared to his eyes. And his eyebrows, his eyebrows are quite large.
Marvel readers will understand when I say that he looks like MODOK if MODOK had a proportionally sized body.
It's true. I know who MODOK is.
And guess what else?
What?
Compared to his weapons, our atom bombs were like firecrackers.
Right.
The Lord of Time attacks the 20th century. Superstarring Batman, Flash, Aquaman, Green Arrow, Wonder Woman.
Special guest star, Robin the Boy Wonder.
I wonder why they chose to do some people's names in black print and some people's names in red. Batman, Aquaman, and Green Arrow in black. Flash, Wonder Woman, and Robin in red.
I have no idea.
Must mean something. Let's dig in. It's Justice League of America number 50, December 1966. And since it's 1966, green berets are all the rage. Story by Gardner Fox, art by Mike Sikowski and Sid Green. The Lord of Time possessed the greatest array of war weapons since the beginning and end of time. Weapons so amazing and powerful that even the Justice League of America must fall prey to them.
The Lord of Time attacks the 20th century.
We don't need to do the roll call except to add Snapper Carr, who did not get a credit on the cover.
No, and he barely appears. Tell me again who Snapper Carr is.
Oh, he's like their little mascot. He's like a little hip-talking Dobie Gillis kind of character.
Not quite as prominent as Jimmy Olsen.
No.
Yes.
But he snaps. That's where he gets his name. He snaps because he's a hipster.
Yeah. Well, he only appears very briefly in this comic.
Right. Yeah. I wonder why. He could have teamed up with Robin.
I think he would have gotten in the way. Robin's pretty good on his own.
I don't know about that.
Well, I'm thinking about Robin in the larger historical sense.
I see.
Not necessarily in this issue.
Yeah, that tracks. Somewhere in the central highlands of Vietnam, an automatic rifle chatters in flaming fury. It's a Green Beret. He's mowing down the VC.
Isn't this strange? You're actually seeing people get shot.
Yeah, I was just going to say that.
Yeah, I was. That was the first thing I thought when I read this page. I thought, oh my gosh, we're not used to seeing people actually falling down like they've been shot, killed.
And I think 1966, moving into 1967, we still have what's-his-face. Who's the other Green Beret character? Lieutenant Hunter.
Uh-huh.
Captain Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And we still have Green Berets in popular culture. We have, of course, Sergeant Barry Sadler has recently at this time had his hit song, Ballad of the Green Berets.
Okay.
And coming up in 1967, we have a short-lived comic book starring Super Green Beret. Listen to this. Young Todd Holton was given a magical Green Beret by his uncle. A Green Beret home on 2 weeks' leave from South Vietnam. His uncle explains that an ancient mystic enchanted the beret after he saved his life. Now, it is charged that whenever a soldier was in trouble, someone noble and young could use the beret to become the super-powered Super Green Beret to help them.
But only when a soldier's in trouble.
Yeah. After a brief experiment, it transpires that Todd Holton is that person. The beret allows Todd to choose any power he pleases, and the beret will instantly provide it. The beret also has extremely powerful telepathy that detects where Todd should go to use its powers and then teleports him there. The beret must be worn for Todd to transform into Super Green Beret. If it is removed, he reverts to child form instantly. Saluting when wearing it causes the beret to teleport Todd to where he needs to use his powers to help soldiers in trouble. Saluting again teleports him back home. Oh my goodness. Base of operations, Valleyville, USA.
Valleyville.
Yes.
Wow. How many issues did they write of that?
I don't know. It was written by C.C. Beck and Otto Binder, who created Captain Marvel.
Okay.
The original and one and only. Todd Holton's home life is largely unexplored, though he does have a mother whose name remains unknown.
Yes, mother.
Powers, telepathy, teleportation, time travel, and super strength.
Wow.
Skills and abilities, superior fighting skills.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. But we're not going to read that today, folks.
No, I wish. Gulp. So this Green Beret is mowing down the VC, rescuing some other American GIs. This Green Beret is named Eddie Brent. And 2 months later, in Gotham City, USA, young Joey Brent and his school chum Dick Grayson thrill to the sound of martial music as Eddie Brent is welcomed home as a hero with a grand parade at the train station.
They're going to give him a Congressional Medal of Honor.
Yes. I would think the Gotham City train station
would not be outside like some hayseed kind of train station.
Well, not only outside, but, I mean, you have to be outside for the platform, but the train station itself, it looks to be just a wooden shack.
Well,
like,
yeah,
you'd find in
like around here in Shepherdstown, right? Yeah, like you would think that the train station would be something quite impressive, something sort of
like Grand Central.
Something. Yeah, I mean, they some sort of architectural marvel.
Yes.
Yeah.
I can't believe it, Dick. The parade just for my brother Eddie.
And the whole town's turned out, Joey. Eddie's our wait. Who is that?
Dick Grayson.
Okay. The whole town's turned out, Joey. Eddie's our hero. Tomorrow he gets a Congressional Medal of Honor for the president himself.
The president? Gulp.
Instruments blast out in a heartfelt welcome as the train carrying the military hero stops. But then...
Hold everything! Sergeant Brent isn't with us. He suddenly went berserk, knocked out the male clerk and security guarded the baggage car, grabbed up a sack of money, and jumped off the Gotham City Bridge. What? It was a clean getaway.
What?
I don't believe it. My brother wouldn't do such a thing.
Poor, poor brother of whatever his name is.
Eddie.
He's got to pay attention, shouldn't I?
Young Dick Grayson, secretly Robin, puts a sympathetic hand on the shoulder of his pal. His keen eyes search out the muscular bulk of Bruce Batman Wayne.
It was Joey who's crying. Joey Brent.
Yeah, that seems an odd...
Doesn't it? Muscular
look at
bulk.
Dick Grayson's got his hand on Joey's face.
No, he's got his hand around. Well, okay, he was supposed to have his hand on his shoulder is what they said.
But. Well, it's clearly drawn. His hand is caressing his cheek.
He might be leading him through the crowd. Well, so, he's crying. Joey's crying.
Sure he is. He can't believe his brother's a criminal. Mm. Well, Dick and Bruce meet up. They drive their sleek convertible sports car back to Wayne Manor, change clothes in an instant, and out they go in the Batmobile. They're going to track Eddie's footprints along the riverbank.
So, because Eddie had
jumped into the
jumped
river.
Into the river.
So. Or ocean. We don't know. It's a bridge.
Yeah.
Last I knew, there was a bridge connecting Gotham City and Metropolis, so it might be a bay.
Yeah.
They scan the river bluffs.
They find some footprints.
Yes.
And climb up the banks.
And then they lose the trail because the footprints peter out, but only to naked eyes.
They use their bat detectors to continue following the trail.
Oh, who's Bob coming? What's just coming down the street?
We've got the windows open because the weather is so absolutely stunningly wonderful.
It's very pleasant.
So we'll hear Butler barking it. This is the cars driving by.
Now, they track Eddie Brent to an old abandoned house.
Mm-hmm.
Batman reminds Robin that Eddie Brent is not a thief by nature. Let's take him without harm if we can. You bet! We gotta make him understand we want to help him. Robin talks like a teenager when he's in costume. But when he's Dick Grayson, he talks like manly, you know.
So, a massive shoulder splits wood as Batman comes in. He goes, all right, Eddie, whatever game you're playing is over.
Batman, I was warned I would have to tangle with you sooner or later. Now I'm warning you. Clear out of here. Leave me alone.
Behind the tent, Sergeant, a rear door slowly opens.
I don't want to hurt you, Batman, but if you interfere, I'll shoot. Well, he's got some kind of strange weapon Batman's never seen before.
No.
Looks not like a normal pistol to me, but yeah, I guess we'll see what happens.
The masked manhunter makes a stealthy gesture and
Robin, yes, Robin comes in from behind for a surprise attack.
To the shocked amazement of the boy Wonder,
the gun bends backwards and shoots Robin with some kind of electric beam, and he's being hurled straight at Batman.
Right. Well, let's turn a page here.
Well, Eddie spotted him in a cracked mirror in this old house.
I see him.
Tossed like a leaf in a gale by a powerful wind whirlpool, Robin thuds hard into the stunned caped crusader.
Ha ha ha!
Gwomp? What's that noise? Gwomp?
Gwomp. Gwomp.
Ha ha ha! My weapons have only one charge in them, but the damage that one firing does is terrific. Might as well discard this burned out rod weapon and prepare to use this propeller one.
And notice he's not thinking that. He's saying that. So he's telling us and the people that he's fighting, Batman and Robin, these weapons that I have are powerful, but they only have one use.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now,
or the single use. Isn't that silly? Why would you do that?
Explain the ways of the Lord of Time? Now we learn, behind his harsh laughter, the heart of Sergeant Eddie Brent is breaking. His eyes are glazed with agony, his lips contorted in grotesque mirth, and he thinks, I don't want to do these terrible things. I'm trying to stop myself from hurting Batman and Robin, but I can't. I've been ordered to obey, and obey I must.
Is that his thought voice?
That's his thought voice.
Okay, all right.
His normal talking voice is manly, like
this. He's a brute. As the dynamic duo recovers its footing, the eerie propeller spins in. No, remember, I told you the last time we were doing this that I've got to get my eyes checked.
Yeah, you really do.
I really do. It became clear when I was reading on this trip, I have got to get my eyes checked.
It's like Joan Crawford on the set of The Secret Storm. Objects in the room are being propelled at Batman and Robin. Robin's knocked out by a lamp. Batman says, I have had enough. I've got to stop Eddie any way I can. Now, why is Junebug barking?
Because our neighbor just pulled in. You know how much she loves our neighbor. She did pull into her own driveway, but the windows are open.
Yeah.
So Junebug probably is looking out the window, you know.
For heaven's sake.
Lily, our neighbor's dog, ran out this morning and Junebug went nuts.
Really?
Yes. She loves our neighbor and our neighbor's dog. She just...
Is Junebug a lesbian, please?
No, she's just a sweetheart. She's a sweetheart.
Batman barrels through the flying detritus and punches Eddie in the gut, then punches him on the face, and then Eddie pulls his master move and makes the chandelier collapse right down on top of Batman.
Now, I've seen these weapons before.
Yes.
The one that he's holding, and you usually use it to cool off on a hot day.
Yeah, it's like one of those little handheld fan guns.
Yeah. But apparently this one has the ability to push a human being across the room.
And collapse a chandelier.
Mm-hmm. Looks like, from that drawing, that Batman's being KO'd by a school of sardines. Doesn't it?
Yes. Or what's the thing that drag queens wear around their neck?
Oh, the feather boa.
A boa. Gasping for breath, battered and pummeled, even the hard-as-rocks wearer of the green beret knows a moment of intense relief as the ghostly visage of the Lord of Time appears.
You've done well, Sergeant. Very well done indeed.
Ah, you again.
Instantly, the past few nightmare hours flash through Eddie Brent's mind as he envisions himself inside the train, speeding him to Gotham City. So we have a flashback.
A moment ago, the seat alongside me was empty. Suddenly, this character in that odd getup appeared here, but nobody but me seeming to see him. I'm trying to ask who he is. But my tongue won't move.
No need to ask, Sergeant. Besides, I'll do all the talking. I'm the Lord of Time, telepathing my thoughts to you because I have selected you to be my personal soldier and I want no one else but you to know. Some time ago, the Justice League captured and imprisoned me back in Justice League of America number 11, 1 hour to doomsday, using their superpowers to prevent me from ever firing another weapon. However, I had been foresighted enough to arrange for a time-warping machine to automatically extricate me from any difficult situation. So the Lord of Time freed himself back in his own time era.
Mm-hmm.
But he's lost the power to work his super weapons, yet his ambition and resolve to loot the 20th century is still strong. He needs someone to act for him, be his warrior, and use his array of weapons as he commands.
You are the hero of the hour to the... you are the hero of the hour to your people. Edward Brent, as you served them, so shall you serve me. It amuses me to select you, to turn over one of their own heroes against them. I now take complete control of you, body and mind. And then he uses some sort of...
hoodoo.
It looks like he's got a white clown nose. So he's squeezing my...
Yeah.
Takes control of his mind.
As your first assignment, you shall steal some money from the baggage cart as a test of my control over you. Following the theft, you shall proceed to an abandoned house where I have left a uniform for you to don. These two weapons will enable you to overcome any interference.
The Lord of Time grins mockingly.
Gee, you've exceeded my fondest hopes. You knocked Batman and Robin unconscious. Now you are ready to go out on the special assignment for which I chose you.
But I am no lawbreaker. I don't want to help you.
Who cares what you want? If I tell you to be a thief, you'll be a thief. You shall steal and bring to me two objects on Earth that will enable me to regain the power to fire my weapons. Your order are to fetch me the gears of the time lock in the Gotham City Bank Vault and the unaging fossil in the South State Museum. Don your special uniform and go.
I hear you. I obey.
Should it prove necessary, you will fight the Justice League with my weapons in your belt, because I can't. To guarantee your safety, I'll protect you from attack by a special defense mechanism in your body, which I will bestow upon you with a kiss on your forehead, like Glinda the Good Witch of the North. Nothing can harm you now, so let's get on with my attack on the 20th century.
Let me stop for a second.
Yes?
And I'll talk about something. You're doing the accents and reminded me of this. Okay, so you and I have been watching BBC programs for 30 years.
Uh-huh.
You know, and I watched them a little bit before that. Of course, I didn't have cable. I'm very comfortable doing, you know, this sort of generic British accent, you know, even different working class accents, mm-hmm. and such like that.
Well, you were a professional actor, so.
And of course, posh accents.
Yes.
The Scottish accent is not something...
Indecipherable.
It is very difficult to do if you're not born to it or if you're not in that, you know. So it was the first time that I was in Great Britain, in a country in Great Britain, going, what? What? I mean, even Ireland, which of course, the People's Republic of Ireland, but in the Republic of Ireland, I had no problems whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
But wow, the Scottish accent... It can be hard to understand, and especially because I think that the people that we encountered, that we spoke with, would often speak with the speed that we do just in our, you know, our normal mm-hmm. conversation. So I there were times when I would just be staring, going, "What did that person just say?" And I had to, man, how many times did you have to say to people, "I'm sorry, what?"
Mm.
You know, or could you?
Several. Yes.
It's amazing, right? Yeah. Yeah.
Slowly, the long moments pass. A powerful body stirs. It's Batman. He sits up. Then there's a lot of mention of Batman's powerful body in this story. What is happening?
You were absolutely right about that.
I know. I don't think of Batman as being a muscle-bound hunk.
No, you and I have fought about this quite a few times, how I think that Batman possesses above... extraordinary physical powers, and you're saying no, he's just works just out. Just, human, you
know. But I'm saying that he's swinging on ropes around the city. I don't think of him as like a Schwarzenegger. He's like a, you know, sinewy.
Well, he looks like he's got quite a defined six pack there. And
well, yes, yes, yes. That's because he's wearing skin tight jerkin.
Jerkin.
Robin wakes up. They compare notes.
And Batman reveals that just before coming into the house, he switched on his tape recorder to note what Eddie said in order to study it later.
Oh, I love this. Okay, so I'm going to be on the previous page. Okay?
Yes.
And he says, Robin, are you okay? And I want you to cut me off just like Batman does on the next page, okay?
Okay.
Robin, are you okay? I guess so. Wow. No wonder the sergeant won a medal. He sure is some great fighter.
Quiet, Robin. Listen, just before coming into the house, I switched on my tape recorder to note what Eddie said in order to study it later. I think we've caught something.
When I read that, I laughed out loud. Quiet, Robin.
Are you surprised it wasn't that panel of him slapping Robin across
the
face? Well,
the next panel looks like he just slapped Robin across the face, doesn't it?
Yes. Holy playback. So that's who's behind Eddie's behavior. Because they hear the Lord of Time's voice. The Lord of Time, that makes this a case for the Justice League. I'll send out an emergency meeting signal before taking you home.
Did he really need to say that out loud? I'm going to send a signal before taking you home.
Take me home? Gulp. You've got to be kidding. I have a stake in this, too. Joey is Eddie's brother and one of my best buddies, and I have a personal score to settle with that Lord of Time.
All right, you've made your point. We'll go back for the Batplane, then be off together.
I think I shouldn't say that. I don't know if this is the first time. I don't think it's the first time Robin's appeared in a Justice League story. I think he did appear in a Justice League, Justice Society team-up before this point.
I will take your word for it and not question it.
Well, I'm not sure. It might have been after this.
I'm sure we have a listener that'll set us straight.
Of course we do.
Shortly, in the Justice League headquarters. Now, I thought the Justice League headquarters would be more grand than this.
Looks no, it's a cave.
Sort of cave.
Cave in Happy Harbor.
Hmm.
They haven't moved to the satellite yet.
Okay.
We've got Green Arrow, Aquaman, Wonder Woman, Batman, Flash, and Snapper.
Snapper. Hi, Snapper.
Evidently, the other members are busy on cases and couldn't respond.
What other members? Martian Manhunter?
Martian Manhunter, Superman, Green Lantern.
Oh, Superman's not even here. That's right.
Adam.
Green Lantern. That's right.
The Adam might be there. We just can't see him.
Yeah. Now, do you see anything? Oh, he's just barking at a car.
Oh, for Christ's
sake. Is that what he does all day when you're home?
Yes.
How do you not go mad?
Maybe I have gone mad. Here's Snapper. Give me five, Robin. Oh, wait, no, he's a hipster. Give me five, Robin. I'm sure glad to meet you at last. I've envied you for a long time.
You've envied me? Color me green, Snapper. I'm jealous of your being in with the Justice Leaguers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you're on the go-go with the Caped Crusader against villains like the Joker, Penguin, Riddler.
If you mutual admiration boys don't mind, we have work to do.
Oops. Sorry, Bat-Daddy-O. He didn't really say that, but he would have. That's something he would have said. Robin, color me red for embarrassment.
As the story of Sergeant Eddie Brent and the Lord of Time comes out, grim looks replace indulgent smiles.
Whew, says Flash. If the Lord of Time is back at the old stand, we'd better give him some business.
Oh, the Baldwin sisters are walking by.
What?
Yeah. You can't see them yet?
No, I can't ever see anything that you see.
Of course, their names aren't the Baldwin sisters, but I call them that because of the
Waltons, yes.
The sisters who had the recipe.
Now, Wonder Woman's getting her, she's calling a shotgun. She wants to team up with Batman and Robin.
Yeah, sure.
At the Gotham City Bank.
She takes over. She's like, this is what we're going to do, folks.
Which leaves Aquaman, Green Arrow, and Flash to handle the South States Museum. And that leaves me stranded here. Sorry, that's Snapper. And that leaves me stranded here, as usual.
Well, you have no powers.
Right, except you can snap.
And you can't fight, so.
You know, later he gets the ability to teleport by snapping.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because he gets kidnapped into space. It's a whole thing.
Okay.
Across the intervening miles between the Justice League headquarters and the Gotham City Bank, speed Batplane and Robotplane. Footfall's drum echoes from the interior of the bank as the terrific trio, Wonder Woman, Batman, and Robin, closes in on the warrior of the Time Lord. Fists clenched, magic lasso in hand, good prepares to hurl itself on evil.
This little fight sequence here surprised me.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, these are pretty damn good seasoned fighters here.
Yeah.
And he makes short work.
Mincemeat. So Batman leads with a sock against the chin of Eddie Brandt, which does no good.
He says, I'm not hitting you. I'm really lashing out at the Lord of Time. But what happens is, so Batman
hits Eddie.
But across the room, Robin takes the punch.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's Robin who suffers the impact of Batman's blow. Now Wonder Woman comes in with a magic lasso.
Throws it around Eddie, but she actually.
Yeah, now he controls the magic lasso and tosses Wonder Woman up into the air and makes her hair do a Marlo Thomas flip.
He's trying to. I mean, we get a little bit of the interior monologue of Eddie, but he says, "The Lord of Time makes me do it. I've been chosen to fight evil.
To fight for evil.
Because I used to fight against evil."
So Batman grabs him by the shoulders and is also tossed up to the ceiling.
Yeah. And then he does this really, this would make me sick. But he does this thing with his gun, a weapon that turns the floor into a storm-tossed ocean wave, like the storm remains solid, but it ripples and such like. So the guys, Batman and Robin, are tossed around like they're on the sea.
Yes, Robin's getting seasick, in fact.
And then he uses the weapon to make the Batarang wrap up Wonder Woman in her lariat and tosses her around like a yo-yo.
Yep, she's going up and down, up and down. She crashes into Batman and Robin. She's knocking them over like she's a bowling ball of their bowling pins.
Hmm. Then he uses a different weapon to make her bounce back and forth between Batman and Robin, right?
Yeah.
Like one of those little Dial H for Hero things.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And then Batman gets an idea. He grabs Wonder Woman's arms. Robin grabs her feet. They swing her. Now, she doesn't have any agency in all of this. They swing her around like a battering ram right at Eddie Brent.
Right.
He's compelled to fight back, so he gets one of his single-use weapons. Aims it directly at the trio. And it's doing something odd to them. It sends them up to the ceiling again and sticks them to the ceiling. They're filled with anti-gravity radiation. They're as light as helium.
But isn't that strange how the artist has drawn their legs?
Yeah.
I thought like, they were what's the word I'm looking for? Where they go through objects.
Phasing.
Phasing
through the ceiling.
Into
the
ceiling.
Yeah. Nope, it's just good old American anti-gravity radiation.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Now, far to the south in Gotham City, the south of Gotham City, in a great national museum.
Green Arrow, Flash, and Aquaman are there.
Yes. You know, when I was growing up, Aquaman rarely appeared in Justice League Adventures.
Really?
Yeah. Aquaman and Adam both.
Huh.
Green Arrow, of course, is there all the time. Flash.
Yeah. Well, Aquaman's quite powerful, isn't he? Well, Green Arrow is not powerful.
Green Arrow's
he's just really
an idiot.
Good at what he does. He's a good fighter and excellent with the bow.
No, he isn't. He's an idiot.
Is he?
Yes.
Huh.
He's a misogynistic idiot.
Oh, okay.
And he's got stupid trick arrows.
I'm sure there's a fan out there who really likes Green Arrow.
Prove it.
No, I'm not that fan.
Now, this fossil they're after happens to be unique, as Flash explains. Ancient objects can be dated by the amount of radioactive decay they give off, as in the carbon-14 test. But this fossil does not decay. It is just as it originally was, filled with a strange form of radioactivity that has never changed in all the millions of years it has existed. Well, how do they know that?
Yeah, how do you know that it hasn't existed? I mean, how do you know the date?
Yeah.
Of an object if you cannot measure its radioactive decay.
Flash's hunch is that the Lord of Time needs to absorb this changeless radiation so that by using it in conjunction with the time lock gear, he can overcome the handicap that the Justice League put on him from ever firing a weapon.
Let me have it, Flash.
It's Aquaman speaking.
I'll hide it in the ocean before he gets here. The ocean's a mighty big place to look for such a small object.
We have a close friend who thinks Aquaman is the best.
I think Aquaman is the best, but what do you think he would talk like if he lives under the ocean? He's not underwater now. That's what he would sound like underwater, but above water. He sounds like this. Let me have it, Flash.
No, you had him talking like this. No. Let me have it, Flash.
So Aquaman takes off with the fossil.
Mm-hmm.
Here comes Eddie Brent. Lord of Time had given him a hand teleporter to speed him to his destination. And Flash and Green Arrow waiting right here for me.
Green Arrow says, look, he stole the time lock gear, and there's not a mark on him. He must have overcome Batman, Wonder Woman, and Robin.
That's how I'm... That's,
a that's good, accurate, yeah, actually.
We don't like him, so...
No.
But he won't get away from my sunburst arrow.
Not my super speed either.
I love that. So, as the arrow thunks into the warrior of the Lord of Time...
Now to spin him so fast, he'll think he's on a runaway merry-go-round.
Oh my god, I don't know how you can do that. Suddenly, an amazing turnabout.
I can't see. The sunburst arrow hit Eddie Brent, but I'm the one who feels it's a fact.
I'm going around and around, but not on my own power. My speed's out of control.
Oh my god.
Unable to stop his wild careening, the Scarlet Speedster manages to reach out and grabs Green Arrow. Load up your SGA fire when I say so.
I get the message, Flash.
Fire, fire, fire.
Fuck.
Now, Eddie's defense coating doesn't act fast enough to throw off the effects of all those rapid-fire arrows coming from the super speed cyclone of Flash and Green Arrow. He's got to give them a dose of another weapon.
Bombarding them with these museum pieces will knock them out quickly enough. I noticed the fossil I needed is isn't here. Whatever, it's wherever it's hidden, I'll find it.
Whack,
God,
whack.
God, oh
whack.
My god, my glasses. Oh. It's my reading. The prescription's not strong enough.
Why don't you get some cheaters from the drugstore like me?
I'm actually thinking about that, yeah.
So he's bombarding Flash and Green Arrow with all kinds of meteors or whatever's in the museum here. Far from the museum, in an undersea cavern.
Here the fossil will remain here for hidden for centuries.
Not even for a moment, Aquaman.
The fossil gives off a time radiation which I was easily able to track with the device given me by the Lord of Time. Now hand it over, Aquaman, or you'll get a dose of the same medicine I gave your Justice League pals.
But at the Sea King's telepathic command, here's my answer, Eddie Brent. Creatures of the sea, attack!
Who's saying that?
Oh, Aquaman. Creatures of the sea, attack! Electric eels, rays, skates. All the submarine denizens whose bodies give off electricity.
For a long moment, the Time Lord's trooper stands framed in a
diapason? Diapason.
Diapason?
A diapason.
Of deadly rays. Diapason.
Diapason.
Yes.
An organ stops sounding a main register of flute pipes, typically of 8-foot pitch. Or wow. A grand swelling burst of harmony. Well.
You and I are, we have doctorates.
We have doctorates in music, and I've never heard
that term. Wow, diapason. Okay. He says, let's see, this is not who's.
Oh, it's also a French classical music magazine.
Oh.
An American magazine for organ builders and players.
Oh.
Diapason Normal, the official French standard of concert pitch. Or Diapason, a 1978 novel by Thomas Sullivan.
Well, I'm sure all the organists in the AGO know exactly what a diapason is.
I'll say.
So he says, I can feel those electrical charges. My protective coating is getting weaker, starting to wear off.
But just then, whew, it's working again. It just took longer than usual to get going. I'm glad this is my last assignment.
Aquaman goes, yeah.
He's electrifying Aquaman under the water.
Yeah. I have the time fossil and the time lock gear now to teleport myself and the Lord of Time and get out of this mess. Oh, I'm sorry I read that so poorly. I have the fossil and the time lock gear now to teleport myself to the Lord of Time and get out of this mess.
So, Aquaman, as he's lapsing into unconsciousness, hurls out one last mental command, and in answer to that call comes a giant crab.
Right.
If the giant crab can grip him, it'll overload his teleporter.
No, that's
which
not
is,
how Aquaman thinks.
He's thinking. That is how he thinks. Oh. That's not how he speaks.
Oh, okay.
If that giant crab can grip him, it'll so overload his teleporter, which is geared to transport only his body, the device will short circuit.
Without waiting to test his erratic protective device, Eddie Brent yanks at another weapon in his belt, and...
Well, I don't like this.
What?
Turns the crab claws to putty. The poor crab.
Well, it'll grow back.
Are you sure, sure, sure?
Yeah, well, typically if you're looking for crabs, you can pull off one of its... not stone crabs. You pull off the larger... Yeah, you pull off the larger claw for stone crabs.
I'm sure I've told the story, but we have a number of new listeners.
What?
When I was in college and they gathered all the girls in the girls' dorm, late one night, gathered them in the hallway to announce that so-and-so had crabs.
Right, which all the girls needed to know because they all shared toilets
They together? All shared the bathroom, yes. Too. And one girl said, well, I don't care what she has as long as she keeps them in cages. Later, at the South States Museum, Batman and Robin have joined Green Arrow and Flash. Green Arrow has been KO'd, but he seems to be recovering now.
How you doing, G.A.?
What voice does he even for Green
Arrow? Okay, now.
Oh, yeah. Okay, now, but what of trouncing that Eddie Brent gave us?
Thanks to the Time Lord's weapons, but just before Eddie overcame us, I noticed an unusual sparkling around the rocks that were pelting us.
That's how it sounds. That's how Scottish accent sounded to me.
Like the Flash?
I was like, I just stare at them going, what did they say? Okay, so you notice that too? It must be a special effect of the weapons Eddie has been using. Perhaps some of the odd radiation is still clinging to them.
So Wonder Woman's gone to look for Aquaman, and maybe by the time she gets back, you smart fellows, he's pointing at Batman
and
Flash, can whip up some sort of gadget to detect and follow that weapon radiation.
So here we are in part 3, The Lord of Time Attacks the 20th Century. In the museum workshop, with all of its facilities at their disposal, Batman and Flash quickly get to work constructing a radiation detector.
Here comes Wonder Woman and Aquaman. I spotted the Sea King on his way here, riding a dolphin's back. To save time, I brought him with me in my robot plane.
Did we really need to know that?
What? No. I thought that when I was reading this.
Yeah.
Just have them run into the room. Here we are.
When Aquaman took off with the ancient device that has no radioactive decay, he didn't say, I'm going to need to borrow someone's car so I can quickly get out of here and go to where... He didn't say that. He just took off, right?
Well, this is before the days of Super Friends when he had his Aqua scooter. What's happening now?
Lori is gone to check her mail.
Yep.
And Lily is just bounding through the yard joyfully. And of course, Butler. And I'm surprised we won't hear Junebug here in a second.
We will. Don't worry.
Junebug, you know, loves
Maybe this is not even picking up on the recording. They may think we're just insane people talking about hearing dogs barking. And they can't hear a thing.
I bet that the dog barking is... So, let's all get... all finish. Let's get going,
Batman. Yep, we got this weapon. Once the detector picks up the emanation still clinging to those weapons Eddie used, it'll lead us to a secret rendezvous with the Lord of Time.
I love the way you read The Flash. So, in his sanctuary, the Lord of Time bathes chronal energies generated by the interaction of the time lock gears and the unaging fossil.
You've done well, soldier. I'll soon be able to use my terrific weapon, so hand them over to me. Once you do so, I'll remove your compulsions to obey me. Well, aren't you going to make a run for it? I'm looking forward to cutting you down. I'm ruthless, you see. You've served my purposes, and I have no further use for you. Begone!
So what happens? Time Lord's got a lot of dialogue here.
Yeah. Just then the Justice League busts in. What's this, the Justice League? Still itching for a fight? Well, I won't fight you. I'll simply destroy you.
Desperately, Sergeant Eddie Brent hurls himself full into the force of the weapon.
Yes? A, the beam isn't hurting me, but neither is it hurting the Lord of Time.
Hit the floor, Eddie. We'll take care of him.
Oh, that was good.
Thank you.
Eddie, what went wrong? He thinks the weapon had to destroy me or the Lord of Time.
Well, then we get
the greatest panel in history.
Every fist of the present members of the JLA.
In a tidal wave of crashing knuckles and ferocious fists, the Justice Leaguers slam home against their foe with a whip and a zock and a mighty, mighty swat.
Now, Green Arrow, Batman, and Robin have normal human strength.
Yes.
But Wonder Woman and Flash with his speed, I'm assuming Aquaman, all have superior, if not superhuman strength, right?
Yes. That would explain why Wonder Woman, Flash, and Aquaman are actually using actual punches. Well, Green Arrow is too. Batman and Robin are just like decorative punches, like with their fists limply in the air.
Oh, are they doing this?
Yes, they're shaking their fists. I'll send a strongly worded letter to the editor about you, Lord of Time.
It looks like Batman's going, like a little girl.
As the time tyrant drops to unconsciousness, Eddie Brent says, it's your duty to arrest me now for what I've done. Don't worry, I won't put up the fight I did when I was under the compulsion of the Time Lord.
We know that, Eddie. What touches us most was you're willing to sacrifice yourself to save our lives.
You're still a hero in my book.
Well, to tell you the truth, I was hoping I had just enough strength left in that protective coating which saved me from you. To turn the Time Lord's lethal blast back at him.
When he released me, he neglected to remove that protective coating. Maybe he forgot about it, or maybe he figured it had worn off. Anyhow, I hoped to destroy him in the very act by which he intended to destroy you.
And if that coating had worn off, you'd have given your life for ours. You're a real hero, all right.
And how? Then, in the nation's capital, after the stolen time lock and unaging fossil have been returned...
What the hell is going on now?
What is that? I don't know.
Who's
what?
That? Oh, that's our neighbor. Hi,
who?
Neighbor. Next door, our other neighbor next door. It's like the... It's the,
like the ice follies of 1939.
Yeah. Everybody's dropping it. Well, look, there's Bob Hope.
In the nation's capital, after the stolen time lock and unaging fossil have been returned, and after the Lord of Time has again been imprisoned without any device to free him this time...
Sergeant Brand, you deserve 2 medals, but you'll have to settle for this one. Your other medal is engraved on the hearts of your countrymen.
Of course, this would have been Lyndon B. Johnson, but they don't show his face so that we can have a timeless story that we can yes. read. And this might be President... Donald Trump giving him a medal, or... and now we see the rest of the Justice League. There's Superman, and Adam, Hawkman,
Martian Manhunter, Green Lantern.
Dick Grayson's there with his friend Joey, incognito.
Yes.
In his civilian disguise.
Yes.
The end.
Yeah, it was a nice adventure, wasn't it?
I'll say.
Yeah.
As I say, I'm awfully fond of The Lord of Time because it's my very first Justice League adventure that I ever read in a Justice League Justice Society team-up where guess who saves the day, saves the entire time-space continuum from destruction?
Who?
Elongated Man.
Elongated Man. Really?
Yes. Time Lord had some super fantastic machine which he had... pushed the wrong button and it was going to destroy the whole time-space continuum. So oh he called God. Heroes from the past, Jonah Hex, Enemy Ace, Miss Liberty, whom we've seen in Tomahawk comics, Viking Prince, and who was the other one? The Black Pirate.
Okay.
And they had to fight the Justice League and the Justice Society, and one by one, the superheroes went down in battle, and only Elongated Man was left, and he just wrapped his body around this super fantastic machine and crushed it, and that was that. Ralph Dibny.
Did he sacrifice his life for it?
He was willing to, but he didn't. Owing to his rubberized bones and skin, he was able to survive.
What, survive?
Aquaman did appear in that adventure, but not... in action. He was on monitor duty at the Justice League satellite, and he delivered futuristic medical devices to the Earth doctors who were treating all the other superheroes who were unconscious.
My goodness.
After their party at the Club 52 exploded and put them all unconscious.
My God.
I remember it well.
You sure
I think
do.
I got the club name wrong, but what's the what was the New York, where all the...
Studio 54.
Studio 54. It was, I think, Studio 53 in Gotham City was where they were having their Justice League Justice Society dinner.
Oh, in a disco?
Yeah.
With, like, cocaine and Liza Minnelli?
Well, no, they had... I mean, I'm sure Liza was there, but they didn't have cocaine. They had a nice, elegant dinner.
Oh, okay.
And that's
well,
where...
Well, Liza wasn't there at the elegant dinner, that's for sure.
No, and that's... Well, she might have been entertaining.
Mm.
And that's where Batman met the Huntress, who's the daughter of the Earth 2 Batman.
Oh, well, wow.
Right. It gets confusing, doesn't
it? Yes, it does. Yeah.
Well, here we are.
Yes.
Back home.
Yes. Actually, I say that like that. No, it's not the back home. It's that the vacation's coming to an end.
Back to the grind.
Yeah, well, you know what I'm going to do after this?
I don't.
I'm going to go downstairs and make a G&T.
You'll find it awfully refreshing after sitting for so long.
Mm.
You can find us on social media at GoGoCheckPod. You can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. Thanks to all the new people liking the Facebook page.
What?
I have no idea how that happened. Yes, we've had like.
Wow.
You can find us right back here most each and every week. You can also find me and occasionally Dr. Husband on our sister podcast, Nerd Orchestra, now presenting its third episode sometime this week when I edit it. us right back here next week with more comics.
Yeah, fun. Definitely next week for sure.
Yay!
Yay!
Bye!